Today is the 15th day of September. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. As I am most days, every day, that's my name. Some days I don't feel like him, but I am him. I am Brian. It is really wonderful to be here with you today. Here again around the global campfire. So good to see you. So good to stand here and feel each other's presence. So grateful to be navigating 20 years. And this being the 20th, 15th day of September. Gosh, 20 years ago. 15th of September. I don't remember that day. But probably at this point, I would be pretty marveling that I actually had stuck to it and was kind of starting to turn the corner and think, maybe I can actually do a whole year of this. Maybe I can actually read the whole Bible. And so I think back to that point, having no idea, no inkling, no plan that I'd be standing here today, 20 years later, having never missed a day, every day, making sure that this went forward. So again, grateful, deeply, deeply grateful to be here with you today to continue the journey that we do on the 15th of September, which leads us back into the book of Isaiah. And today we'll read chapters 19, 20, and 21. A pronouncement concerning Egypt. Look. The Lord rides on a swift cloud and is coming to Egypt. Egypt's worthless idols will tremble before him, and Egypt will lose heart. I will provoke Egyptians against Egyptians. Each will fight against his brother, and each against his friend, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. Egypt's spirit will be disturbed within it, and I will frustrate its plans. Then they will inquire of worthless idols, ghosts, mediums, and spiritists. I will hand over Egypt to harsh masters, and a strong king will rule it. This is the declaration of the Lord God of armies. The water of the sea will dry up, and the river will be parched and dry. The channels will stink, they will dwindle, and Egypt's canals will be parched. Reed and rush will wilt. The reeds by the Nile, by the mouth of the river, and all the cultivated areas of the Nile will wither, blow away, and vanish. Then the fishermen will mourn. All those who cast hooks into the Nile will lament, and those who spread nets on the water will give up. Those who work with flax will be dismayed. Those combing it and weaving linen will turn pale. Egypt's weavers will be dejected. All her wage earners will be demoralized. The princes of Zoan are complete fools. Pharaoh's wisest advisors give stupid advice. How can you say to Pharaoh, "I am one of the wise"? A student of Eastern kings. Where then are your wise men? Let them tell you and reveal what the Lord of armies has planned against Egypt. The princes of Zoan have been fools. The princes of Memphis are deceived. Her tribal chieftains have led Egypt astray. The Lord has mixed within her a spirit of confusion. The leaders have made Egypt stagger in all she does, as a drunkard staggers in its vomit. no head or tail, palm or reed, will be able to do anything for Egypt. On that day, Egypt will be like women and will tremble with fear because of the threatening hand of the Lord of armies when he raises it against them. The land of Judah will terrify Egypt. Whenever Judah is mentioned, Egypt will tremble because of what the Lord of armies has planned against it. On that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear loyalty to the Lord of armies. One of the cities will be called the City of the Sun. On that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the center of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord near her border. It will be a sign and witness to the Lord of armies in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, he will send them a savior and leader, and he will rescue them. The Lord will make himself known to Egypt, and Egypt will know the Lord on that day. They will offer sacrifices and offerings. They will make vows to the Lord and fulfill them. The Lord will strike Egypt, striking and healing. And they will turn to the Lord, and he will be receptive to their prayers and heal them. On that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Assyria will go to Egypt, Egypt to Assyria, and Egypt will worship with Assyria. On that day, Israel will form a triple alliance with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing within the land. The Lord of armies will bless them, saying, "Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance, are blessed." In the year that the chief commander sent by King Sargon of Assyria came to Ashdod and attacked and captured it, during that time, the Lord had spoken through Isaiah, son of Amoz, saying, "Go, take off your sackcloth from your waist and remove the sandals from your feet." And he did that, going stripped and barefoot. The Lord said, "As my servant Isaiah has gone stripped and barefoot 3 years as a sign and omen against Egypt and Cush, so the king of Assyria will lead the captives of Egypt and the exiles of Cush, young and old alike, stripped and barefoot with bared buttocks, to Egypt's shame. Those who made Cush their hope and Egypt their boast will be dismayed and ashamed. And the inhabitants of this coastland will say on that day, 'Look, this is what has happened to those who relied on and fled to for help to rescue us from the king of Assyria. Now, how will we escape?'" A pronouncement concerning the desert by the sea. Like storms that pass over the Negev, it comes from the deserts, from the land of terror. A troubling vision is declared to me. The treacherous one acts treacherously, and the destroyer destroys. Advance, Elam. Lay siege, you Medes. I will put an end to all the groaning. Therefore I am filled with anguish. Pain grips me, like the pain of a woman in labor. I am too perplexed to hear, too dismayed to see. My heart staggers. Horror terrifies me. He has turned my last glimmer of hope into sheer terror. Prepare a table and spread out a carpet. Eat and drink. Rise up, you princes, and oil the shields. For the Lord has said to me, 'Go, post a lookout. Let him report what he sees.' When he sees riders, pairs of horsemen, riders on donkeys, riders on camels, he must pay close attention. Then the lookout reported, "Lord, I stand on the watchtower all day, and I stay at my post all night. Look, riders come, horsemen in pairs." And he answered, saying, "Babylon has fallen. All the images of her gods have been shattered on the ground. My people who have been crushed on the threshing floor, I have declared to you what I have heard from the Lord of armies, the God of Israel." A pronouncement concerning Duma. One calls to me from Seir, "Watchman, what is left of the nights? Watchman, what is left of the nights?" The watchman said, "Morning has come, and also night. If you want to ask, ask. Come back again." A pronouncement concerning Arabia. In the desert brush, you will camp for the night, you caravans of Dedanites. Bring water for the thirsty. The inhabitants of the land of Tema meet the refugees with food, for they have fled from swords, from the drawn sword, from the bow that is strung, and from the stress of battle. For the Lord said this to me, "Within 1 year, as a hired worker counts years, all the glory of Kedar will be gone. The remaining Kedarite archers will be few in number, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken." Galatians 2:1-16. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. I went up according to a revelation and presented to them the gospel I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those recognized as leaders. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, in order to enslave us. But we did not give up and submit to these people for even a moment, so that the truth of the gospel would be preserved for you. Now, from those recognized as important, what they once were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to me. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter was for the circumcised. Since the one at work in Peter for an apostleship to the circumcised was also at work in me for the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, those recognized as pillars, acknowledged the grace that had been given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to me and Barnabas, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They asked only that we would remember the poor, which I had made every effort to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned, for he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. Then the rest of the Jews joined this hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas in front of everyone, if you, who are a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And yet, because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. Psalm 59. God, our stronghold. For the choir director, do not destroy. A victim of David, when Saul sent agents to watch the house and kill him. Rescue me from my enemies, my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Rescue me from evildoers and save me from men of bloodshed. Because look, Lord, they set an ambush for me. Powerful men attack me, but not because of any sin or rebellion of mine. For no fault of mine, they run and take up a position. Awake to help me and take notice. Lord God of armies, you are the God of Israel. Rise up to punish all the nations. Do not show favor to any wicked traitors. Selah. They return at evening, snarling like dogs and prowling around the city. Look, they spew from their mouths, sharp words from their lips. For who, they say, will hear? But you laugh at them, Lord. You ridicule all the nations. I will keep watch for you, my strength, because God is my stronghold. My faithful God will come to meet me. God will let me look down on my adversaries. Do not kill them, otherwise my people will forget. By your power, make them homeless wanderers and bring them down. Lord, our shield, for the sin of their mouths and the words of their lips, let them be caught in their pride. They utter curses and lies. Consume them in fury. Consume them until they are gone. Then people will know throughout the earth that God rules over Jacob. Selah. And they return at evening, snarling like dogs and prowling around the city. They scavenge for food. They growl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your strength and will joyfully proclaim your faithful love in the morning. For you have been a stronghold for me, a refuge in my day of trouble. To you, my strength, I sing praises because God is my stronghold, my faithful God. Proverbs 23:13-14. Don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod, and you will rescue his life from Sheol. Okay, so we began the letter to the Galatians yesterday, and we talked about that yesterday. And it begins, and Paul is sharing his story, like his pedigree, his origin, how he arrived at the things that he is writing to them. So we're continuing to hear of that story today, how his convictions were delivered to him, how this revelation happened, how he didn't just sit down one day and make all this up. And he's acknowledging all of the disagreements that arose in the early church over basically this: who gets to be in? And believe me, my brothers and my sisters, that question lingers and is within all of us at some point or another. Who gets to be in? According to Paul, by the time of writing this letter, he'd been living into his faith for over 17 years. And his claim was that he did not receive the truth of the gospel from any person. It wasn't that somebody told him how to believe and how to think. He received this revelation directly from the Lord. He says he only met Peter once. Like, so these people that actually walked with Jesus, he's saying, like, I only met Peter once, and that was 14 years ago. And the only other apostle he ever even met was the brother of Jesus. His name is James. And according to Paul, the gospel that he preached had been given to him directly from Jesus himself. Meanwhile, the church that had formed and grown around Jesus and his teachings, these original followers, they were wrestling because Gentiles were coming into the faith and believing in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was coming upon them. We read of this in the book of Acts. Monumental shifts were taking place. And so the early church that was completely Jewish, following a Jewish rabbi, believing he was a Jewish Messiah, were wrestling over how to look at Gentiles coming into the faith. But this is like Paul's complete mission, is to the Gentiles. He doesn't only speak to the Gentiles, he speaks to the Jews everywhere he goes, but ultimately his message is one of inclusion. Everybody gets to be in. Everybody who wants to be in gets to be in. Whereas the Jewish believers were wrestling over who gets to be in. Not everybody's on the same page. And Paul talks about that in today's reading. He talks about people who sneaked in to spy and to try to take away freedom that people have in Christ. He says, and I quote, they wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment because we wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. Speaking of the churches in Galatia. So it's fair. I mean, we can read this, and most of us are Gentiles, and so we can read this on one hand as completely dismissive, as if, what does any of this matter? But we can also read this dismissively because the church is largely made up of Gentiles at this point. But it's fair to acknowledge that there was tension here, and it was legitimate tension because it's valid tension. On one hand, Jesus was Jewish, and he absolutely did operate in a Jewish context. And so most of his ministry is among the Jews, and those who did believe couldn't, like, imagine abandoning their religious convictions around their entire heritage and the fabric of their society, all centered around rituals and traditions rooted in the Mosaic Law, especially since Jesus lived in the same environment. However, on the other hand, Gentiles, they'd never known about Moses. They didn't care about Moses. And they didn't care about any other rules and rituals that that are so important to being Jewish. So it was difficult for them to conceive how it is they're supposed to come under a law they had never heard of and kind of convert into customs and rituals they didn't know anything about. So there's this tension there. Because even the Jewish people, the Jewish believers knew that nobody had ever been able to keep up and obey the law fully. And on top of all that, because there's all this religious tension and controversy, but on top of all that, there is a Jew-Gentile controversy. So there's social and cultural implications going on here. Jews were separatists. They didn't mix it up with the Gentiles all that much. Especially at this point in history where they are looking at the Gentiles, who are Romans, to be their very oppressors. And it's fair, the Romans, the Gentiles, often did segregate and marginalize the Jews. So this would make it hard for Jews and Gentiles, even though they believe in the same Jesus, to have any kind of like trusting, meaningful friendship, fellowship with each other. Because there's an inherent generational prejudice and fear from their individual communities. It is not as if that does not still exist. I mean, even in the country I live in the United States, where we're just a short time ago, by history's standards, there was slavery in this country. And so even though that's been abolished, the segregation, the marginalization, this has always continued to be struggled over. So we can understand what's going on here in the first century between Jews and Gentiles and between the tensions on who gets to be in, who is accepted. So we get a good look at that tension in today's reading when Paul tells about a time that he had to actually directly confront the Apostle Peter. Like one of the 12, one of the ones who walked with Jesus, because he was acting in hypocrisy. He was behaving one way when he was among Gentile believers, but then when there were Jewish believers present, he acted a different way and pulled back from the Gentiles. So Paul is fighting against this hypocrisy, but also fighting forward vigorously in so many of his letters. But why? What is he after here? It's freedom. So for Paul, the law, the Mosaic law, could not be fulfilled by anyone. If someone could obey it perfectly, then they would in fact be justified before God as righteous. They would have earned it. Like, if it could have been achieved, God would not have been able to deny them. They could claim their own righteousness. But nobody could be able to do that. And yet, one person did. And the law was fulfilled in Jesus. So for Paul, there isn't a need anymore to attempt to try to live up to the law. Jesus did it. And believing in him, putting faith in him, then so does the believer through him. And anyone who puts their faith in Jesus then through Christ fulfills the law. It is faith that matters to Paul, not behavior modification or adherence to the Mosaic law. And these ethnic chasms between Jews and Gentiles needed to end for Paul, because God is doing a new thing in the world. He is raising up a new species of human. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren to follow. Anyone reborn, born again with a new nature in Christ, is a new creature. The old has passed away, the new has come. This is a new breed. This is a new kind of human. There cannot be, for Paul, these ethnic separations anymore. There isn't supposed to be this distinction between Jew and Gentile anymore, because everyone is a part of the same body for Paul. Everyone is the same in Christ. That is like the good news of the gospel. We take it for granted often, but that conviction put Paul with a bullseye on his chest, because in so many ways, that view then makes Judaism obsolete. And so he suffers incredible pushback over what he's teaching. As we move forward in this letter to the Galatians, Paul's going to explain that we are justified not by the law, like by our own righteousness. We cannot earn it. We are justified by faith in Christ. That is it. That is the only way. But that offers true freedom. That a set of rules being obeyed could never bring. But it's important for us to understand this context, not only as we read Galatians, but as we really read all of Paul. This context helps us to understand and embrace why this is freedom and why this matters for Paul. And why it matters for us. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We're grateful, deeply. Another day. All of this time that we've spent here around the global campfire together, we've been taking breaths. We've been breathing oxygen. It is a gift. Our hearts are beating. Blood is pumping through our bodies. We are alive. We are paying attention. We are conscious. We are aware. This is a gift. You have given us the gift of life, and we are grateful for it. And as we continue to learn and move forward in our maturity, may we appreciate the life you have given us more and more and more, as we jettison the things that are not important, so that we might focus on real life, real freedom, true faith. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base. That's where you can get connected. The community section in particular is where to get connected. That's where you'll find different links to the different social media platforms that we participate in one way or another. And that is, if you're in that space, whichever space you're in, it's good to get connected that way and follow along as we do announcements and encouragements and behind the scenes and stuff like that. Just kind of stay connected to the community and the journey. Not so much social media moguls, although we're like some of the OG viral stuff all the way back from the beginning when we're traveling around doing live broadcasts before that was easy, back when that was really hard to do. So, yeah, at this point, you know, trying to come up with pithy stuff every day can get complicated, especially when we're showing up here every day and trying to be, you know, consistent and moving forward. So not using that so much to hawk things or be cool, but we definitely are there to serve the community as we take the journey through the scriptures any year, so it's a good place to follow along if you are in those spaces. Also in the community section is the prayer wall, and that is not on social media, and that's not even searchable on the internet. This is really here inside this community. Pretty low tech. Just a place to reach out if the bottom falls out, or to reach out in prayer and encouragement if you're on the mountaintop. It's just a place within the community here that is available, and so check that out. It's the 20th year, so we're doing all kinds of little things to celebrate. The breathing prayer is what's kind of on the radar right now. Our first ever. Like, I've written a bunch of books, and Jill and I together, well, she's made a bunch of records, and I was a record producer before all this, so I've made hundreds and hundreds of records. And we've done all kinds of media, all kinds of films, all kinds of video work. We never, ever wrote a children's book. And it's harder than it seems to get things simplified to their essential core and really communicate something. And we wanted to communicate something that was a part of our family that came from some really anxious times in our son Ezekiel's life as he was starting school. And so the breathing prayer, a little prayer for big feelings, certainly for children and grandchildren. But the tool, the breathing prayer, the tool is timeless. Like, it's for every age, every stage, always available to recenter ourselves. Remember that we're breathing. Remember that the breath that we are breathing now is present. This isn't past or future. We're not in the past regretting and just being kind of drowning in shame. We're not in the future with all the anxiety of how we're going to navigate. We're here, right this minute, present. And getting in touch with our breath brings us to that focus, and inviting Jesus into that. Oh, that is centering. That is grounding in the moment that we are in. And the breathing prayer is just that little tool. So check that out. That can be found on the web, in the shop, or on the app in the shop. Just go to the shop and you'll find the breathing prayer. And I hope you will if you haven't had a chance to check it out yet. I hope that will be on your list, because that little tool will go a long way. That will be something in the toolbox, hopefully for the rest of your life. Something so simple and so profoundly powerful. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around that rhythm of showing up for each other every day, showing up for ourselves every day. If that is life-giving to you, thank you deeply, gratefully, humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAB family. This is Bart in Kentucky. I would like to lift up a gentleman whose name is Doug. He is my wife's ex-husband, and he has cancer, and it is spreading quickly. Please lift Doug up for healing, and that he come to know Jesus Christ. I thank you in advance for your prayers, and I praise the Lord for hearing our prayers. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Again, it's Bart in Kentucky, and I'm walking in the light. Walk in the light today, everybody. Have a good day.
Hey, this is Jerry calling from Duluth, Minnesota. I've been a part of the DAP now for 17, 18 years. And what struck me when I first started, and I know did Brian when he started the podcast, was the number of people that were calling in and sharing things that they wouldn't share with others, and how open and transparent people were with the prayer and encouragement line. And I know myself personally, I called in many years ago and mentioned that I was bipolar, which I wouldn't share that to anyone except for my family knew, because there was a stigma about it. And in the Christian community, especially, the idea, well, all you need to do is cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. And many times it's just not quite that simple as a magic wand. And even when we're in the scriptures every day, and you're in the scriptures every day, and what we appreciate this year particularly, a side that we haven't seen before of you and Jill really making an intentional decision to be open and vulnerable and share things with us that you haven't done before. And that helps us so much to know that even the leader of this worldwide podcast and God is using so much, that you still struggle, and that you still have really difficult times. And times like you talked about yesterday, where sometimes we just, the only thing you can do is just breathe. And we need that. And pray for all of us that we'll be encouraged today. God bless.
Hi, DAB family. I am a hopeful in Texas. I'm a longtime listener, and I'm so grateful for this community. I'm in a desperate situation, and I am praying for help that can only come from God. We need a miracle. Due to financial reasons, my husband and I decided to sell our house to downsize to enable me to stay home with our baby and to be closer to family. We signed a contract for a house in a more affordable part of town and put our house for sale. Our house sold, but now we have 2 weeks to move out, and my husband was laid off his job last week. Please pray that my husband can miraculously get a job soon. Without him having employment, we are not going to be able to purchase the next house, and we just don't have anywhere to go. And so I'm a little scared. Please pray, family, for a miracle for our family. Thank you, DAB family.
Hi, this is Jen from the Sooner State, and I'm calling and I wanted to talk to the grandma that has the granddaughter struggling and pulling her hair. I want you to know that I, too, was a person that struggled with this my whole life, but I stand before you today healed and whole. God has given me a beautiful, long set of hair, and I want you to know that I'm going to be praying on behalf of her, and I want to lift her up right now together. Dear Jesus, I come before you today. God, I thank you, God, for this grandma, God, that knows the source of all things. God, I pray, God, that you help this this child that's struggling and in a need. God, I pray, God, may she see you through it all. God, I pray that you take every anxiety, every fear, ever whatever she's going through that's overcoming her away right now in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you will give these parents wisdom, on how to help her. But God, I pray, God, and I thank you because you've done it for me, and I know you can do it for her. God, we stand on your promises, we stand on your word, and we stand on your faithfulness. So God, we thank you right now for touching her. In your name we pray, amen.
Oh Lord, thank you for Eddie, who called in today on September the 8th and requested prayer for his struggle with addiction, Lord. Addiction, whether it is to alcohol or pornography, Lord God, it's something that the enemy just uses to control our minds. I pray for Eddie today, Father God. I pray that you would lead him to that solid foundation that you have for him. Help him to keep his eyes fixed on you, Lord. Help him so that he doesn't look at the storms, Lord. Even the storms have bright lightning in them, things that draw our attention away from you, Lord. Beautiful things in nature, just like a woman is a beautiful creation of God. And Lord, you have brought women into his life for him to treat with respect and the dignity that you have called him to do. And we know that's in his heart, Lord. But the enemy is trying to destroy that part of Eddie that you want saved for the relationship that you have for him down the road in the future. So we just pray and bind and break the power of addiction over Eddie's life today and ask you, Father God, to set him free. Let him stand on that solid foundation that you have for him, that he will stand there and wait for you, Lord, just to sturdy him, to keep him strong, Lord. And then at the perfect right timing, Lord, he will take that first step down the road to righteousness with you, Lord. He is righteous in your eyes because of the blood of Christ. It's not our own righteousness, Lord, but is the righteousness because of the blood of Christ that has been shed for us. Thank you for Eddie, Lord. Thank you for him calling in. And I just thank you for what you have planned for his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, DAB family. This is Annabelle in South Carolina, long-time member. I'm requesting prayers for Caroline, the younger daughter of our beloved Pastor Webb. She had a bicycle accident with a traumatic brain injury. She's at home now, but not well yet. Need her face to recover from the droop possible from the skull fracture. So, Heavenly Father, intervene in Caroline's complete recovery and give peace to her parents and her sister with the knowledge that you will bring a complete healing. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.